Miller Lite, the official beer partner of your Philadelphia Phillies, is proud to serve as presenting sponsor of WIP's High Hopes Pod. So whether you're listening to the game, catching up on the latest High Hopes Pod, or at the ballpark, remember, it tastes like Miller time, Phillies fans. Celebrate responsibly.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. High Hopes. On the Odyssey app and Sports Radio 94 WIP. The crowd was singing high hopes, smiling through a broken nose. Oh, high hopes, high hopes.
I feel a little less alone.
Yo. Edition of the Odds Podcast, sponsored by Miller Lite, official partner of the Philadelphia Phillies. Tastes like Miller time, Philadelphia. Celebrate responsibly. It's July 3rd. Happy July 4th to everyone. 250 freaking years of this country, Jack. And it feels like, and the Phillies have been around for, you know, and won a lot of baseball games over those 250 years.
Wow.
150 have been a part of, Jack. Winning baseball for 150 years of this country, okay?
I actually think it's the opposite, to be completely
honest. I know, of course it's the opposite. I know, Jack.
Yeah,
lots of losing baseball.
Lots of losing. And the craziest part is that the Phillies decade, which is officially the 2030s, you know, so during...
Oh, I like this. This is good. I like the decade thing. Like this, that's a spin. We've done the whole thing before, like the 2030s. I'm in on this, buddy.
Sure, they could win the World Series this year, but you got to focus in on the 2030s, Phils. And the craziest part is that 250 years of this country, and during the 260 to 275th, I hope, era of this country, it will experience the Francisco Renteria as as the Phillies superstar. So, you know. Good things are happening. Good things are happening.
That's true. I mean, think about, you know, when you really think about it, if we're really going to like get profound with this, I mean, we could have lived through any time in human history, so many amazing moments that have happened. And yet we are lucky enough to live in the time that Francisco Renteria will be a Philly. I mean, that is, what else could you want, man? Like,
I know.
What a beautiful moment on earth, right? I mean,
well, and you know what's even crazier is he's 17 right now. 15 years from now, he'll only be 32.
Oh, I mean, we can't start doing that. When I'm going to be, you know, 60 and he's 33, I can't. Nope.
You'll still be doing the yo.
I'll be doing the yo. Am I retired yet? Can I retire? Oh, we can't afford it. Okay, I'm still going, baby. Let's go.
We're never going to retire. I'm not retired.
Well, that beautiful thing for High Hopes listeners is that even if we do retire, you and I will do this podcast because we will talk to each other no matter what. So this is there's no retiring from the High Hopes podcast. I will say, Jack, and I think this is probably a good thing. It was actually surprising to see them lose a series. Like if I feel at
they
home.
Didn't, they didn't lose the series. They split the series.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you're right. They didn't even lose. That's the point. I forgot about four. Jeez Louise, man. I forgot
you
about four.
Lock in.
You got a tough. Is that it was weird to see them lose two or three over a, you know, weekend span, like feel or not weekend. You know, again, I do need to lock in. You're right.
They split. Now, Monday. Yeah. Now, Monday was a disgusting loss. It was a Nola disaster.
So that was the 11-8 one, right? Or whatever.
Yes, I was
in on that. So then they win. You know what? Yeah, we went to the game. That's why. We were at the Monday game. Tuesday, they win.
Wednesday, they win.
Oh, because of the day. Oh, I'm an idiot. The 12-20 thing really threw me off, dude. Well, I combined the two wins together. So we had the 10-6 win, which I went to. And then, okay. Really bad job by me.
Yeah, we do host the Phillies podcast.
Wheeler and Sanchez, both. Yes, they won those two. What Should have known. They won the games that Wheeler and Sanders started. My bad. Sorry about that.
Yeah. So
it was just so nondescript. Like 8-0, they just whoop ass in that one. It just kind of like went by, you know.
Well, and the good part for you is that they also didn't show up to the ballpark yesterday. So they like yesterday was just, right. You know, yesterday was disgusting. It was whatever. It doesn't matter. Like the craziest part about this Pirates series,
poor Alan Ronghell just going out there in the blistering heat, just grinding.
I know.
No one's got his back.
And then they sent him down.
I know. I like him, man. I'm well, you know. We'll get there.
Listen,
he's
He's very, very serviceable. They just sent him down because they need a bullpen arm. He's not going to pitch until next week. They're a little light out there in the pen. So, yeah, it was a couple of things off the Pirates series. One, I'm pretty impressed with that Pirates team. I really am. I like that offense. And I don't know what happened with the White Sox and the Pirates. Like, I know they got new hitting.
Flipped it, man.
Like, those offenses were horrendous. Everyone they drafted and brought in, they got worse. Like, Jacob Gonzalez.
White Sox might make the playoffs this year.
The White Sox are sick. Like, I'm a might as well be a White Sox fan. I love that White Sox team. And, like, Jacob Gonzalez, they drafted, and it was a brutal draft pick. It was way too high for him. Like, a very low ceiling type player. And 1 year under this new hitting regime, and he looks like a totally different, actually difference-making type player. You look at this Pirates team, Nick Gonzalez, who's been really frustrating the last couple of years, but was drafted super high, all of a sudden, new hitting philosophy, bang. Now they are, well, by the way, sorry, I left out an egregious team, the Nationals. So you look at the Nationals, the Pirates, the White Sox, and all of them have turned their average looking to below. Dude, they're starting some guy named like Tyler Callahan in this series from Callahan Auto Parts, and, like at third base, who I've never heard of. They started the guy on the Sanchez game was in center field, like almost like Buck Davis, I think his name was. That's not his name.
They got Henry Davis out there hitting dongs. Well, it was revive that. Talk about a high pick.
It was something Cook is in center field for this team. No, he stinks, but still, like, the point is, it's not like they have household names up and down. And, like, that I don't know. I was really whatever those teams are doing, the Pirates, the White Sox, the Nationals, we might need to tap into that market. We need to tap into that market and try to find a – because you look at this offense – and we've got this offense is on a good streak. This is not
much better. Yeah.
I'm definitely not, you know, ranting and raving about the offense. I think that they are in a good spot. I like where a lot of the players are. It's not even really a Kevin Long thing. It's just the story of this offense the last couple of years is kind of in the story like the Eagles offense, where sure they've been top 10, but they don't feel that way because they do have a good amount of talent. So I was just impressed by this Pirates offense and how I think they hit 11 home runs this series, which is saying something. Because again, it's not like they have, and O'Neill Cruz didn't even play. No. It makes what Sanchez did that much more impressive. They're frisky. They're a frisky little team. And the fact that they hit around Skeens again was quite.
So, like the fact that Skeens has like a, I didn't see the exact numbers, but it's like I'm guessing a mid 2 ERA against everyone but the Phillies this year. I mean, he's given up 12 runs and 2 starts against the Phillies, and they've just crushed him. I mean, that first game, the 5 runs in whatever it was, 5 innings or something against him, I can't remember exactly, but I remember doing the pod after that game and coming on here, and we're like, whoa. What is this offense? Like a plan? Like they were good at bats, going up with an approach. Like it was one of those weird games where we're like, we don't see this offense look like this. And they've obviously looked more like that over the last month than prior in the last few weeks. But Skeens comes in. It's just like they own this guy. They are not afraid of him. And I don't know if maybe there's something with him coming into Philly. Who knows? But he certainly looks like a different guy against this Philly team. And they went up and just absolutely rigged. We were at that game. I was shout out to my sister-in-law Lindsay. It was her birthday, so we went down with like Emily and Zoe, and then Lindsay, her husband Steve, and their kid Sawyer. And like it was one of those, obviously one of those funny nights. And we all know this. We're baseball fans. Like the beauty of baseball. You can't predict it. You know, so many people, we all go down there expecting Wheeler Skeens, and obviously ends up being a 10-6 ball game. And it was not even just that. It was like one of those where, like, crush Skeens. They get back to Wheeler. Back to Skeens. It was like constant. It was like, you know, 6-2, 8-2, 8-6, 10-6. Like, it's just like it was one of those games where the ball keeps flying out of the ballpark. It was hot as hell. But, like, it was – and I feel like that happens a lot where you're expecting this brilliant pitcher's duel, and that's what you get. But – you know, it's so strange to see this team when they go up against Paul Skeens look absolutely dynamos, and then they'll have a six starter practically talent wise come in, and they just don't show up. It is, and I know it's human nature and what, but I think it's been a fascinating series from that perspective. And I want to get to the Wheeler thing. Obviously, I think coming out of it, that whole situation, probably the number one kind of story, I would say. Not that it's, you know, I'm not concerned moving forward, but let's get to that, and then we'll get back to the offense and all that. But I do think that coming out of that game, obviously they win, but Wheeler gets pulled in the fifth inning, goes 4 2/3, basically had like three chances or something to like get out of the inning, gave up some singles at 104 pitches, I believe the number was. I was shocked that Mattingly told him. I get it. I understand the situation with Diamond, but I was surprised. You could tell Wheeler was pissed in the moment. Like, I was at the game, so it was like kind of, I didn't see his face or anything like that, but like, even from where I was sitting, it felt like a little bit of an awkward exchange. And then obviously we hear after, and like, you know, look, Zach Wheeler is a very matter of fact talker. I feel like, you know, he's quiet. Like, for someone who has been one of the best players in the sport, and certainly one of the great Phillies pitchers of all time, and certainly of this era, the GOAT of that era as a pitcher so far. We haven't heard him talk that much comparatively. Like, he's kind of a quiet guy, goes about his business and all that. He, like, I don't know that I have ever heard him speak as ticked, sound as ticked off as he did, man. And like, he basically, like, you know, shout out to the Bulldog, Davey Ram in there, you know, asking questions, and other guys were too, but basically, like, you know, were you upset? And he's like, yeah, basically I was upset. And they're like, if you talk to Mattingly, he's like, nope. I'm like, you gonna? He's like, we'll see. I don't know. And like, I get being human. To Mattingly's credit, two things, and then I'm throwing it to you here. One, I do appreciate that Don Mattingly is willing to do what he thinks is best for the pitcher, for the team, whatever. I'm a big believer that organizations, coaches, managers, front office people sometimes have to do what the player might not want them to do for the best of the player, especially in football. I think we see this all the time. I want to play. Guess what? No, we have to play a full season. Like, your health is more important. You have to do that stuff sometimes. And it was the hottest day of the year so far and all that. And 104 pitches. I personally would have let Wheeler finish or give him a little bit more leash to finish the inning. But I understand Mattingly doing it the way he did. And I appreciated Mattingly's answer too about why he hadn't talked to him yet. And all that. I thought it all made sense, but I can't help but feel Zach Wheeler and what he said and what he felt. And I don't blame him. What did you make of the whole situation?
Yeah, so I loved it from every single angle, if I'm going to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
I really do. So that is and when Wheeler talked after the game, he talked about, I've earned that, and he has. That is part of being an ace, part of being your horse. And he was definitely mad. He had that look where he was so mad. He was kind of welling up a little bit.
We don't see him. It's really rare in the timings, but he is so stoic and stuff too. And what was it? Was it 52 or 53 straight starts getting through five innings? Like, this is a pride thing with him, not just on top of a, you know, wanting to get done on. Like, this is something, to your point, Jack, he has proven over and over and over again that he can do.
Yeah, so I thought, one, it was an overreaction from Mattingly to pull him, personally. I understand about protecting him. I understand about the heat. But at the same time, he got two quick outs. He allowed a nonsense hit up the middle, and then one was hit relatively hard. Yeah. I don't need to rush Zach Wheeler out of the game to put Kyle Backus in. We don't need, like, that's
just so, that's it, yeah.
So yeah, I would have let him do it. I thought it was an overreaction. I understand him being mad. I would have been mad too. Like horses earn certain things. Everyone, I mean, no one could forget 2012. I'm pulled against Henderson. The next pitch is a grand slam. Like, this is, you don't do this to your horses.
You're right. And, no one forgets it. People still talk about it. Yeah, well, on the street, you know, you hear it just under people's breaths as you walk by. It happens.
Certainly around here in Westchester, the one stain against on my record in high school is that we never beat Henderson. Anyway, but you don't do it. Now on Mattingly's side, I do appreciate having the cojones to go out there and do it, no matter how mad he knew Wheeler was going to be. I appreciate that. I appreciate doing what you think is best for the team, not always
your conviction. Best. Yeah.
100%. I appreciate waiting and saying the next day, when he's ready, I'll talk to him. And the thing that I am noticing with Don Mattingly, and I like it, and I think it is something that this team needs, and it has me feeling like this guy might be the manager here for a little while. We don't need Alex Cora. Is he's starting to he would never say it. I think he's a humble man. I think he's a humble, kind, gentle soul. That is Don Mattingly.
I agree.
But I do think he is starting to give off the I'm Don Mattingly thing a little more.
Yeah.
Which
and by the way, Jack, he is
Don Mattingly. And I think that a veteran team with stars who have had their own success, they will respect Don Mattingly, like almost being like, you guys are good. I understand. I appreciate it. You guys are Hall of Famers. I'm also should be in the Hall of I should be in the Hall of
if
Fame.
If I didn't get hurt, I'd be in the Hall of Fame.
I'm in the Hall of Fame too, essentially. So I think he's starting to use that a little bit more. And we talked a lot about the gravitas of having Don Mattingly as your manager. And for a veteran team like this, I think that it's really beneficial. This is not a like the Wheeler thing is not a big deal to me. This is a small like quibble in the middle of a season on one of the hottest days of the year. I am sure on the plane ride out to Kansas City, they talked on the plane. This will not turn into a big situation, big deal, because Zach Wheeler is too great of a team guy to turn this into a big thing. He is not a horse on game day and then a horse's ass, as that has been described about other pitchers that have pitched here the other 4 days or other 6 days of the week. So, yeah, it's not a big deal. I like how everyone handled it. I appreciate Zach Wheeler caring enough about it to not want to get taken out of the game. I appreciate Don Mattingly doing it and what he said after and having a real mature response to it. And we are monitoring the Don Mattingly, reminding everyone that he's Don Mattingly situation. And there's a couple of other things he said really just in the last couple of days that really stuck out to me. He said after the Skeens game that these guys aren't afraid of anyone. And I do think he's lying, but I appreciate
it till you make it, man. Bryce said it too, you know, a few games ago, we're coming, we're good. And like, I'm with you. Sometimes it can appear as false bravado, but sometimes it can also feel like a rallying cry or just a message to the team or whatever. And it felt more like when Bryce and Mattingly said it, it felt like a believe in ourselves, guys. Like we are good, like type of like thing rather than a bravado thing. I don't know about you. That's how I felt it.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And there was the one report, I think maybe Stott said it, that like after that game in Milwaukee that we came on was like, what a laydown, embarrassing effort against Kyle Harrison. Don Mattingly immediately after the game was telling them how disappointed he was in their effort. You know, things like that. I'm sure Rob Thompson did it, but it certainly doesn't seem like it gets through, it cuts through the way it does when Mattingly says it. So I've just been really, really impressed.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. TNCs apply.
It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Summer break is here. I want my kids to have fun, but I also want them to keep their skills sharp. Between vacations and sports, I need something that fits our busy schedule without adding stress. That's why we use IXL. IXL is an award-winning online platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized, interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's proven to improve grades, and one subscription covers every child in the home, saving us time and money. It's trusted nationwide. And in fact, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
There's been some bullpen things that have annoyed me. I also don't know, like, this series, it's hard to tell because they needed this off day so bad.
So bad, dude. Especially the 12:30 game and the heat after the game. Like, and these were long games. All three of the first games of the series were long runs. Like, they just kept going and going and going these games, like, so.
And that one yesterday was the longest 1-1 game for majority of it I've ever felt, dude.
And again, that's after playing like a 3.5 or 3 15-hour game the night before in the sweltering heat, and then coming out like, just, I mean, I don't remember, we do the radio show a lot, like, we've been on there have not been many days where I've said on WIP they're giving away free water when you go to the ballpark, because it's like, that doesn't happen, not because they're jerks or anything, like, they will if they have, it's so rarely a day game, and as unbelievably hot as it was yesterday, like, it's like a dangerous situation to be out for that long in. And these guys are on a field where it's that much, like 15 degrees hotter, 20 degrees hotter. I mean, I was looking at Marchand. I'm like, how are you alive in that catcher's room? I'm looking at the poor umpire by no plate in his stupid long pants. He did that thing. I'm like, that must be like, it must just be a horrible, horrible experience where you get off the field and your face is rash, your body's just, like, it just must have really sucked. So I'm with you, dude. Like, they could really use that. And I think the Mattingly thing is such a great point. And I'm so with you on the Wheeler Manning thing. I think it was like a real professional Major League Baseball manager player, you know, we are good type of situation. Like, I feel like everyone involved is a freaking pro, and that they're going to be able to handle this. And to your point, I agree with everything. I think everyone has points when they do talk about it. I think that Zach will understand where Don's coming from. I think Don already does understand what Zach feels when he's coming from. And I think the next time this happens, I think he'll trust him more in the right situation and all that. But I do love that Mattingly, again, who has not been the manager here that long, had the you know, cojones, whatever you want, chutzpah, whatever you want to say to go in that spot and stand up. And again, even if we don't think it was right, because I don't, I'm with you. I think Zach Wheeler has earned it. I think that's a true statement that he said, especially a few more shots. Look, if he gives up three more hits, then we can have a discussion. Like, I think he earned that there. But I love that Mattingly felt like he had the handle in that situation to do that. And he's managing to win, and I appreciate that. And on top of that, like, I do think, to your point, like, they're human beings. Like, whether or not, and I think they love Rob Thompson and cared about him, these guys are baseball players. They grew up watching baseball and caring about baseball and stuff. Like, Don Mattingly's Don Mattingly. Just human nature. It's impossible not to have like a little bit more reverence for him than you would for someone you didn't watch play in the league, or you didn't know is a 9-time gold glover or 8-time all-star, whatever the hell all this stuff is. Like, MVP of the American League for a year. Like, that guy is Don Mattingly. Go look at his numbers. I said this the first time we had Preston on. Like, Don Mattingly, if he didn't get hurt, is a Hall of Famer. Like, there's an argument he should be in the Hall of Fame anyway. He was the best player in the sport for a few years and one of the best players of the 1980s in Major League Baseball. He is one of the best defensive first basemen ever. Wild, him and Keith Hernandez in the city at the same time, two of the best I've ever seen in my lifetime. Like, he is he has a gravitas just by the nature of who he is and what he's accomplished that other people like Rob Thompson, who could, and again, I don't think you have to play to be a great manager, but like he did play. It's part of his resume. It matters. It's part of who he is. So like, I do think to your point, Jackie, is comes in with a little more cachet and obviously a ton of experience. So I think that helps. One thing, I don't know if you heard me mention this, but I texted you guys about it, you and Elliot, when we were there. But Mattingly, when we were there on Monday for the fantastic auction, we were on the field for batting practice. It was an awesome experience. Shout out to this dude, Jeff, who bought it and brought three of his buddies. And it was so much fun. We get to be on the field for batting practice and lunch, ate dinner and stuff. But on the field for batting practice, I didn't realize, because I'd been down in a little bit, like that Mattingly's out there doing first base drills with Bryce before the game. Like, and he's like out there. He's not like coaching. He's got his glove on and he's fielding ground. And you see him talking to Bryce. He's like, no, position yourself here. Move a little closer to the bag, like your footwork. And like, hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah, dude. And it's funny too, because, you know, Mattingly's had the back issues and he had the stuff that kind of ended his career and all that type of stuff. And I feel like when you see him kind of moving around, he's an older guy now. Like, he kind of feels like he's like a little ginger when he's moving or when he's walking around. He's not like cruising. He looked like live out there on the field. He was smooth. He was moving around a bit. It was cool to see. It was like, oh, wow. Yeah, there's Don Mattingly with the glove on making some plays. But I think to your point, Jack, him already being Don Mattingly, having this cachet, but then he's also out there like teaching Bryce first, working on first with Bryce and like doing these things and all that. Like, it just adds to it, because then he's out on the field with them practicing playing too. Like, I just, to your point, we'll see with the Alex Cora thing down the road, but like, I don't know that many people could have come into the spot that 9-19 and done a better job than what Mattingly's done.
Yeah, for sure. And I do appreciate how he doesn't seem scared at all. And I like a manager. It's a little bit like Charlie. Like, Charlie wasn't scared. Charlie would do whatever he felt was right. He sat J-roll, pulled guys. He knew how mad they would be, but there was a grown-up feel to it. And I do think at times that Rob Thompson would be a little scared of certain situations to pull guys. And I know Mattingly has done that in the past, being out there at first base with Bryce, but I do think it is noteworthy that he did that Monday. And I really thought it was Bryce's best defensive series. And I know Bryce said after the game on Saturday against the Mets that he was disappointed he didn't get to that ball down the first baseline in the sixth inning, where it kind of blew up in their faces. Mm-hmm. And maybe this was a, hey, Don, can we go out there and work on some stuff kind of thing? And I do think that Bryce had a very solid. Besides, there was that the play yesterday where for some reason he thought out, but well, not for some reason, he thought Bohm was going home. So he had to like catch it and keep moving at first.
They got
place.
It. You're talking about the double play there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
that was a big play too. They needed that.
It was a big play, but I didn't know where Bryce was going, but we certainly like what we're seeing from Don Mattingly, and everything will be okay with him and Wheeler. Not worried about that.
Yeah, I'm not worried at all about it. I feel really good about Mattingly coming in. We talk, you know, I don't think managers make, you know, I think you need talent. Your guys got to play. But I do think this has been a tangible difference. And again, I don't think it's a rip on Rob Thompson. I just think it's where this team is at. I do think they need a new voice and a new energy and whatever in there. And I think Mattingly, to your point, like, the perfect guy to come in and take over. He's not going to be scared. He's not going to be intimidated. He's Don Mattingly, comes in with the cachet, and he's clearly a damn good baseball guy. You know, whether manager, bench coach, whatever he does, he clearly just gets the game and understands it. So it's a pretty awesome spot. I feel really good about his handle on the team. All right, let's get to some of the other stuff from the series. I mean, Sanchi, you know, not much to say. I think, unfortunately, you know, if it's Mizorowski, I'll be annoyed, even though he's been great.
It's probably not going to be. He's going to pitch Sunday against Skeens.
Oh, good. So it's probably. So I think Sanchez is the likeliest to start the All-Star game at this point. After, I think those two starts, as much as I still would give it to Wheeler for the history of all the stuff we talked about, they've both been great. I think that, you know, that the shutout was 7 shutout, and then, you know, the yard down to 2, and then the Wheeler tougher start. I think that probably is the separation that'll give it to Sanchez.
Yeah, so I think Mizorowski. Well, they said Mizorowski's going to start that Sunday,
which is huge, because like, we can all be honest. I mean, as of today, Mizorowski has been the best of the, like, just numbers wise. I mean, he's
yeah. Yeah. We're going to have our fourth second place finish in the Cy Young in the last.
So I'm not ready to say it. We got a half a season left. This guy's throwing 105 every pitch. Like, we'll see where this goes. I think Sanchez could outlast him. He's pitched much more innings. But I think, like, if we're just – I think the All-Star game's here, so we should get it. But in a vacuum, I think we could say Mizorowski wins the first half Cy Young or whatever, you know?
And it looks like Shohei can't pitch in the game either, which is good because he was going to – Dave Roberts said he was going to start it if he was going to pitch in it, which I was already getting mad about.
I saw you tweet that out, and then you were just like, don't freaking do this, Dave. Like, no, can't do this. And it's the right move not to. Look, what if you're the Dodgers, do you really need – I know it's for baseball and stuff, but if he's not going to start, like – just let him come in and hit. If I was the Dodgers, I don't need Choi going in there and pitching anyway, you know?
No. And then I think Wheeler is supposed to start that Sunday too. I think as of right now, he is scheduled to start the Sunday before the All-Star game. So he might not pitch in it either. Like, they would have to adjust his rotation spot. So it does feel like it is all adding up to Chris Sanchez starting the All-Star game, which is obviously sick.
Which is great.
As long as it's one of our guys, and it seems like Bryce might not play or participate in the home run derby because his dad has not thrown in a while, so he doesn't have a BP pitcher. And I do think I think it'd be okay if Bryce asked Nola to do it. I think if he asked Nola, hey, come be my, he'd do it anyway.
I can't tell if you're doing the bit or not. So that's why everyone, obviously Schwarber made a lot of sense. We were like, oh, have Nola should do it for sure. I could see you smiling, but like, it would be hilarious as a bit.
Of course it would.
It would be the funniest bit ever. Like, can you imagine? Oh my, honestly, I would give Nola so much credit for leaning into that and stuff like that.
Just hang the curveball over and over
again. I really like how seriously you delivered that, because as you're going into it, I thought you were going to do something about, like, I'm fine with Bryce not doing the home run derby. We don't need him to do it. Just be in the All-Star game, all this type of stuff. And and then all of a sudden you do that, because I was going to make some sort of joke, and then you do it so earnestly.
Yeah,
I really think, you know, I think it would work well, and I'm like, yeah, well done.
Or I could do it. I could do it, Bryce. But
you do it, yeah, in a second. Come on.
I do think. I actually think he's trying. I think there's two things. He's trying not to jinx getting hurt before the home run derby. He said that yesterday. He was like, I just want to make sure I can get through the first half healthy. I haven't done that in a while. And I do think he wants to be on the All-Star team versus, like, just participating in the home run derby and then not playing in the All-Star game. So I think it's twofold. I think if he makes the All-Star team and he's healthy, I think he'll participate in it. I do.
He's a showman, man. He's a showman, and he gets it in Philly. And I do think that he's going to be on the team. Now, he clearly deserves it. He has been one of the two, three best first basemen in the National League. He's probably been the best, but whatever you want to say, like, he should be on the All-Star team. I think Dave Roberts whatever you want to say about Dave Roberts, he's a baseball lifer. The guy understands, I think, the sport and where it's at. I think that they will put Bryce Harper on the All-Star team. I feel, like, incredibly confident.
Yeah, I'm actually not worried about it at all.
No, shame is that he's not starting, which is nonsense, but, you know.
Yeah, well, because Biden...
Freeman bows out or something and wants a weekend off and they let him start or something, you know?
Yeah, we'll see. Or maybe Freddie's just like, hey, let him start.
Yeah, you know? I could see Freddie doing that. Like, seriously, yeah. I mean, Freddie's look, we all hate class. Him as a competitor. Yeah, exactly. You're right. I've kind of gotten to the point where I just am like, yeah, I kind of really like that guy. Like, I want to hate him when I see him come up to play. I feel the Braves uniform. I feel the Dodger. I feel all the big hits, the homers, the moments.
I know.
And I can't get there. Like, it's like, it's of all players, it might be the most, like, I'm trying to generate hate and feel like I should hate in the moment. And I can't, it's never real. It's never real.
Dude, he's hitting 294 again. Like, he's just a machine. He's just an absolute. He's 36, man.
He's a Stone Cold Hall of Famer.
36.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
So, all right, he's at 2,525 hits. Do you think he gets there?
Wow, he might. Oh, my God, he probably will, actually. With that, when I – 294, he batted close to three. I mean, every year he does. He's the kind of guy – he's aged great. Like, does he have three more years left? He gets there in 3 years? Yeah. I think – wow, man. Yeah. I'm really happy you brought that up, because I feel like it's one of those things we kind of, you know, obviously 300 wins, like, goodbye. But 3,000 hits is something where it kind of feels like it's so, so rare now. And is anyone going to continue to do this? Like, I didn't realize how close Freddie was. That's exciting.
Yeah, he's at 2,500-ish. So he'll probably end the year at 2,600,
That's what I'm saying. Like, so maybe three more seasons. He's there. Like, you know.
Bryce is at what, 18? I think he's almost at 1,900, and he's 33. Maybe.
I mean,
like,
that's not that far behind the pace that Freeman's at age-wise. I mean, you know.
You know what's crazy? And I know that this is not a dig on Mike Schmidt, but when it's all said and done, Schmidt hit 548 home runs. I didn't realize he only had 2,200 hits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so crazy. I for the longest time I thought he had like 2,600 or 2,700 just anecdotally. And when I realized when I was looking, I was like, wait, what? It is stunning, actually. It makes sense. I mean, you look at the averages some years and the strikeouts and numbers, like, it makes some sense, but it still feels so. And he walked a ton. Like, you got to give him, you know, that's part of it too. But yeah, dude, it's shocking. It is one of the more surprising things about him when you look at his numbers, because everything else, especially because, like, he played so many games. He's, you know, he's the Phillies all time leader in all those type of things, you know, games, runs, this, that, like, so it is surprising. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. When it's all said and done, like, Bryce might pass him in hits. Now, obviously not on the Phillies uniform, but.
Well, that's the cool thing about the Schmidt thing is that the 548 in the Phillies uniform will stand. That's a cool one.
Yeah, until 2045. Until Renteria. About 2040 when Francisco Renteria does it. So, So Freddie will get there. Freddie's had a great year. I mean, it's a shame. Like, him, Olsen, and Freeman are all just having really, really, really solid years. And war-wise, Bryce's defense is dragging him down.
Olsen's also the best defensive first baseman in the league, so that really raises him up, too.
And certainly Freeman is no slouch in that
area. No, but Olsen's like just a stud out there. So, yeah, and that hurts. But I think – and they're all stars, too. You know, the all-star game is the all-star game, I do think. When in doubt, unless someone's having a much better year, and someone like I lean towards the stars playing in the game, especially this one at 250 and all that. But all three of those guys are legit stars. It's really, you know, Harper should get in because of the Philly thing regardless, but it is wild that these, you know, if you include Harper as a first baseman, like, these are the three most historic first basemen right now in the National League and have been for a while, you know, talent wise. It's a renaissance here for that.
Yep.
All right. Let's get to the bag because we've already been through a ton and whatever else we can get to in there.
Yeah. You want to do the account of the week first or?
Yes. Look at you. Freaking see, this is why both pros, but Jack, the true pro, shout out to the account of the week, a place I have been many times since I was young. Shout out to the Philmont Bar and Grill. Today's show is sponsored by Miller Lite and the Philmont Bar and Grill on Boston Avenue. Check out the Philmont Bar and Grill for every Phillies game. Enjoy $2 Miller Lite drafts along with their massive 10-foot media wall. Miller Lite are Phils with celebrate responsibly. Spent many a day in the Jenkintown, Huntington Valley general area having lunch at the Philmont. Going for some beers back in the day when I got a little older. Really great place, really fun spot to check it out.
Philmont with a PH or with an S?
Yes, like the correct way to spell it. Philmont with a PH, PHILMONT.
Now, is it like Philly related in there or is it?
So, I mean, it's not like, it's a place. Philmont is a place. Like, there's the Philmont Country Club, there's a Philmont this, like, it's a spot near Jenkintown, Abington, like that area. But the Philmont Bar and Grill, the name of the restaurant.
People forget that my freshman year of high school, or heading into high school, I went to a camp called Philmont in New Mexico, and I hiked 101 miles in 10 days.
Wow.
Yeah, wow, outside in a tent.
That's legit. Look at you. What people really do forget is what an outdoorsman you are. You know, that you always do the people forget about something that they never knew about. People did know you're an outdoorsman, and I'll bet you they forgot.
Yeah, I need to get back to my roots. You know, I need to disconnect from the old phone.
I mean, once upon a time, being at the wedding of a young Jack and Jill, hearing stories about hikes taken throughout their history together as children and then as adults, and how much nature means to them and whatnot. You know, what happened? Man, what happened?
Yeah, well, I need we need a walk to learn. Well, walk's learning. Walk's learning how to wet.
Little kids throw everything off.
Yeah, walk is learning how to wet a line now. So we're getting them out there. So, yeah, I miss fishing. Fishing's a good activity. I'll get back to it.
This summer, I'm taking a new approach to styling the smallest spaces in my house with help from Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has the small space solutions that America's waited 250 years for, like retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, dinner party ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish, spacious, Bobopedic sofas, and feature packed power recliners that let me kick back in even the smallest rooms. Plus, I know that Bob's styles are backed by thousands of real 5-star customer reviews, so I can trust that the furniture that I'm getting is not just affordable, but built to last. And the best part? Bob's Furniture ships fast, so I can enjoy my new styles all summer long. So when you're ready to ditch the furniture you're not excited about for the latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
I'm Hannah. I've lost 75 pounds in 20 months with GLP-1s, plus diet and exercise. On Row, I've gone from struggling to run a mile to running farther every day. You can access FDA-approved GLP-1s online. Get the support you need to reach your weight loss goals. Go to row.co/weight to see if you qualify. I'm a paid Row partner. 20% average weight loss in 1 year in non-diabetics with obesity or overweight with a weight-related medical condition versus 3.1% in placebo arm. Rx only. To stay informed about serious side effects, go to row.co/safety.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
All right. Take back. Did you see the Jacob Mizrowski play last night that they rolled an error?
No. What happened?
Well, so it's everything is now a hit in baseball, like even
literally
clear errors.
Literally every, it's one of the, I mean, I'm about to sound like Larry Anderson, but I think it's one of the big problems in the sport right now. I hate it. Like in a deep, 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 passionate hate.
LA, T-Mac, you now, just it's the biggest crime against the sport is scoring decisions.
I don't think anyone likes it. If you're at least an old school baseball fan, you don't like it. None of us like it. It feels weak, you know, yeah. And it feels like obvious. Like, yes, offensive stats are down and they're trying to do everything to make it look less bad than it is. Like, okay, cool.
Yeah. Well, so there's a dribble up the third baseline. Third baseman comes in and throws to first base. Now, it was bang-bang play, and Jake Bowers did drop it, but it looked like he was going to be safe, and they rolled it in error. And then two batters later, Sal Stewart hit a three-run home run. Mizrowski only allows
one. Would it have been the last out of the... Oh, come on.
Only allows one earned, even though he allowed 5 runs, which is annoying. We got to get that ERA up from 1.47. Let's see. What else here? I thought Rincones, like, had good bats a couple times this week. Looks like it's slowing down for him a little bit. Kind of just missing some home runs.
The one down the right field line, like just outside the pole. I thought that was like,
Yeah, and he hit one yesterday that just kept going. It shows how strong he is, but it just kept going, and it did end up like at the warning track, but it looked like a pop up. Obviously, the heat and the new baseballs. So that's the other thing I wanted to get to. Did you read the story or do you see the story?
Of course. I think ever since like Acuna was doing the, you know, looking at the two baseballs thing, and I think it's kind of spiraled from there, but yeah. I think it's kind of inarguable. I mean, numbers wise, I feel like it's hard to argue.
All of my guys in fantasy have just cratered since they went to the new balls. It's infuriating.
Yep.
So I got to be honest though, James, I got to be honest. I really don't mind it. Like, I know.
Either. Oh, I'm fine with it. Yeah.
Like, they have to find a way to get offense in the game.
Yeah.
Pitchers have gotten too good. And if you have to just change the baseball a little bit, I don't watch the games now, and I don't, like, it doesn't feel like 2019. 2019, they were hitting golf balls out of, yeah. Like, it was insanity. I don't view this as insanity. Like, you still have to mostly earn your home runs. I think the heat obviously also helps. I thought I would be more mad about it because, like, you know, the pitcher guy pitching thing. But I just think it's a natural thing they have to do to try to combat how nasty the pitchers are today. And it's the only way that they can kind of do it right now in midseason. So I saw it. I felt it while watching. But I really it doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother me.
Dude, I'm full agree. I think they have to do something. I mean, I've talked about they're not going to do it in season, but, like, I would be fine with them lowering the mound if they decided that's the route they wanted to take. Like, as long as you don't mess with 60 feet, 6 inches, like, that's sacred. I don't care. I don't even know how high the mound is. What is it? You know, like a foot? I have the 2 feet. Like, I have no idea. Like, go for it. Lower the mound a bit. That won't affect my, I won't notice that. We won't notice that. And it could have a profound impact on offense. And to your point, something as simple as change the balls. Hey, guess what? They've been doing this for years, forever. Juice balls. How many times have you heard that? Like, this is not a new thing. They are constantly tweaking with baseballs, season to season, in season. Like, this happens. And to Jack's point, like, it's just necessary right now. It is, like, the biggest, we were talking before about issues. The single number one biggest issue for baseball right now is getting the hitting to somehow catch up to the pitching war, because it is just, it's too dumb. It's too much.
Yeah. And it shows you how it actually makes you appreciate what, you know, Wheeler and Sanchez and Mizorowski. Skeens is clearly going through something, you know, ever since that start against the Phillies. He's been,
yeah.
I think ERA is like mid threes to maybe, it's probably over fours now.
I love us talking about, like, a 24-year-old kid being like, man, he's really going through something. His ERA is in the mid threes. Like, can you believe it? It's like, well, but it's crazy. It shows how good he's been.
He's got, like, his mechanics look off. I wonder if he's kind of hurt a little bit. But yeah, so he'll be fine. But it shows you, I'm overall pretty okay with it. Let's see. I do miss Brad Keller. I never thought I'd say that, but they really,
it's unbelievable. They need someone. Jeez.
They really need him back. Trey is clearly, we're in the middle of a
Trey
hot streak, which he's going to get that average up to 270 somehow, 270, 275 ish. And we'll kind of go from there. But
it's, a little pop, baby. A little pop. It's been nice. Was it three straight games, right, with Homer in there?
Before yesterday. But yeah, like, it's been refreshing watching Trey. He's gone to a little toe tap. He is not doing the big leg kick. I think that's really helped him stay on plane and be on time. So that's been good. Crawford is also showing a lot of good signs at the plate as well. You know, I said this the other night, or maybe it was the last podcast, but, like, he deserves credit for where he's at from the standpoint of, they tasked him with playing center field every day at the major leagues, even though he hadn't done that, and hitting at a major league level when he hadn't done that straight from opening day. And it took him a little bit. He had a really good start to the year, then cooled off and, you know, kind of tapered off, really. His average is down to like 230-something. But it's picking right back up, and he's hit in the mid-250s right now, and it's rising. And I think that shows you, we've seen a lot of guys come up and struggle from AAA and look like they're in their own head and get sent back down. I think he deserves a lot of credit. It's good for his mental makeup, or, you know, his mental fortitude, that he survived the midseason struggles as a rookie and seems like he's coming out the other side and playing good baseball for this team. Center field, still work in progress, but he deserves a lot of credit.
He's gotten better, and we've watched it. Like, the steps look better. We're not, you know, seeing him every moment the ball is hit, but when we see the replays and stuff, it doesn't seem like he's taking as bad a first step as he used to. And offensively, I think it's been pretty dramatic, actually, the what he's kind of worked through. And again, he's 22. He's not just a rookie. He is a young rookie. Like, 22 is young for a, like, very young to come up and hit in the major leagues. So I actually, as this season has gone on, I've been more and more bullish and impressed about with him and about his future. I think he's handled it really well.
made a nice little adjustment with the swing. His hands are a little bit lower. He's quicker to the ball. And he's going with that no stride approach that Stoddard did in the second half of 24, I want to say, where he just went to basically a two-strike approach all the time. So, yeah, he's been good. The play in center field yesterday was brutal, where he let it get all the way to the wall. Yeah. And that kind of. But, again, yesterday's game sucked anyway, so who cares?
And Trey, it's just like, you know, be confident, buddy. Seems like so much of it is. It just seems with him, you know, we talk about confidence and hitting's contagious. For him, it just really seems like he gets in his head, like just hopefully he keeps hitting, because I do think, you know, he can go. We've seen him. He can get really good streaky, you know, as well as bad streak.
Yeah. Gage up to five innings. First time he's done five innings at AA. So if they were serious about possibly having him be a part of this thing down the stretch run, I think you have to do that again. I think five innings and then a jump to AAA and see how he handles the ball at AAA. He did allow two home runs again. He allowed, I think it's his third straight start. He's allowed a home run in the first inning. Sometimes he loses the grip on his slider a little bit, leaves it up, and it gets hit around. I haven't been able to go and rewatch the entire start yet. Just watching the clips on.
Come on, dude, Jack.
Well,
what are we doing? We expect us to not have to do this. So you use your time to come and tell us about it. Okay,
come tonight, on. Tonight with no game, I'll be locked in.
I know you have two children, young children, and a pregnant wife. But like, if you could, you know, watch minor league baseball a little bit more consistently for us. Okay,
I agree. And I'm disappointed in myself. So we're beating ourselves up over here. Also, because I know we're going to be on during the entire draft, I'm like...
We are going to, just heads up to everyone, we're going to have all kinds of good stuff coming, both on the radio, like All-Star Week, Draft Week, like you will get more of us. So, and I know for a fact, just to shout out already, 1 week from tomorrow, Saturday, July 11th, No Go Birds Radio. It's freaking High Hopes Radio. It's 2 to 5:30. We got a nice, fun, long show. So if you're a listener, tune in for that, call and all that. I know it's early. We'll talk more about it during the week. But 1 week from tomorrow, High Hopes Radio special edition. So lots of good content coming up.
Well, and it's directly in the middle of the draft. So yeah.
The draft, the All-Star game coming up, the derbies, the deck day. Like, we are like full go. It's going to be awesome.
Well, no, I'm talking about like that Saturday.
I know, literally the draft. I know. I'm trying to talk about the broader things and say, hey, everybody, we got a lot going on for the people who are not, you know, Jack. But yes, the draft.
Thank you. We're fitting four rounds into that Saturday, pal. We're fitting four, and they got 2/4, which means, or because of they lost Ranger, so they get that comp pick. Which also means that they should be able to use more of it a little bit higher up if they want to. Anyway. So yes, that Saturday is going to be a lot of fun. But I am about I'm probably 200 names deep of just making sure that when we're on, if they draft someone, that I can make a semi accurate description as to who that player is.
And the pods this week, either Monday, Thursday, whatever the pods are, like obviously. One of those pods will have the official who he wants, guys he'd be happy with, guys he'd be okay with, guys he'd talk himself into, the whole list, guys he will be upset with, but probably someday talk himself into. That whole list is coming, and that is like, that's like almost, we're like, it's right there with perfect offseason and all the staples of the IOPS podcast. The Jack Fritz draft wants and not wants list is very high on the list.
And there will be a breakdown of who I want at 64 as well.
Oh, we know. Yeah. I'm surprised. Isn't there going to be a breakdown if you want 164 or 264 or whatever? I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, listen, we're getting excited. And yes, the draft is July 11th, and I have a lot of thoughts that I cannot wait to kind of get through. I'm trying to think if I want to unleash anything, you know, right here, if like a little bit of a teaser, but I also don't want to give away all of my guys yet, even though I kind of tweeted about it the other day. But I will say, I do think that they're going to go bat no matter what.
It is okay, not good. I mean, I want them to.
It does not feel like a situation where they're going to go. Now, if one of the pitchers fall, like a Logan Redman, the ace from UCLA, like if he's there, I think they could. But it doesn't feel like that. Like, I think they're going to go a prep bat, or like if one of these real college bats fall, and then 64 could be where they go for a upside prep arm that falls. So I think they're going to go bat. I expect them to go bat. And that's exciting because I need them to get another real bat in the system.
Yeah,
but
buddy.
We'll break Definitely. It all down. We'll break it all down.
It's going to be awesome. All right. No game today. Then it's three games wrap around Monday with the Royals. I mean, clear two or three here, you know, after not losing the series to the Pirates, like I said.
Yes, yes, yes. Now that we're locked in on the baseball team again. So tomorrow is Lazardo versus Waka. Waka, an interesting trade deadline.
Very interesting. Yeah, that's a good point, Jack. I didn't realize quite because, you know, been around for a while now, and you and I have probably both owned in many different seasons Michael Waka on a fantasy team. I didn't realize the kind of career he's piled up, the amount of innings he's pitched, the strikeout number. Like, he's – Michael Waka's had turned himself into, like, a really nice career. You know, he's higher on the active lists of pitcher stats than I expected is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and the nice part about Waka is he's owed $14 million next year, so he's under contract next year as well, and he does have a club option in 2028. So, like, they would have some control if they wanted someone to be a fifth starter type for them. Yeah. Or he's pitched out of the bullpen before.
He's what I was about to say, yeah. And now, he's been in the playoffs. Like, he would be a better version of the Michael Lorenzen trade, essentially, if they made it kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally agree. Somehow, also, only 35.
Like, that's what I was shocked by. Again, his stats are wild. I can't believe how long he's been in the league and how how much he's amassed. I was going through active pitching leaders recently just because I was messing around a reference. Michael Waka was the guy who stood out to me as being like way higher on these lists than I thought he'd be.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's been a horse for a little while there. Still has that little Bugs Bunny changeup that has worked for a long time. Yeah. Nola versus Avila on Sunday. He has pretty sick stuff, so that'll be a fun one. And then Sanchez versus
Nola. You're talking about Nola, right? Pretty sick stuff. Nola? Yes, yeah, yes.
Yeah. We didn't talk about Nola, but I
need to. I think it's what it is.
Well, I hope they start going with an opener for him. I know he probably doesn't like it, but if you go opener, they can get you two innings or even one.
And then get through that lineup first, start later in the lineup, especially and start him with the six hitter, the seven hitter, or something like that, and give him a little ease in type of situation.
Yeah, well, he's been fine recently of starting games. It's just he dies, like his stuff just dies in the middle.
One time through the lineup, he's been fine.
So if you give him an opener, they can go an inning or two, and then he can just, like, you need three innings from Aaron Nola, and that's it sucks. It's just the reality of the situation, though, where he it's how you can get through to the sixth inning without using your leverage guys. Maybe when they trade for a starter, it's him and Ronhell, like they kind of piggyback that thing. But man, the Nola thing certainly, it's gotten dire quick, it feels like.
Yeah. And again, it keeps seeming like these spots where, you know, they get out in front and then he just, you know, it's so frustrating. Like, it must be, we talk about all the time with that bullpen in 2020, all these things where it's one thing where it's like, you know, it's a very defeatist feeling when the players know that a pitcher is not going to be able to get outs in a situation. And it must be a defeatist feeling when you have a pitcher on the hill where you take a 5-0 lead or something and you're like, well, you know, the white knuckle time, guys. You know what I mean? That's got to be, you know, they love Aaron Nola. He's done a lot. I'm sure they like, you know, their buddy, whatever. But like, I'm sure a part of them when they're out there is like the JT Jared Hughes meme, you know, where you're just kind of like, ah, man, here we go. You know? So. Huh.
At least there's only four more years. At least there's only four more years.
Terrific. All right. So we'll be back on Monday at some point after that Royals game.
Or Tuesday.
Probably Tuesday. And then next Saturday, don't forget, we got all kinds of stuff coming. And it's exciting, man. It's fun. The Phils are good. We got the All-Star game coming. Like, this is kind of a really freaking awesome little spot here, man. I'm feeling it. Jaylen Brown to Philly on the sports, you know, in the world, we're kind of there. LeBron's coming, you know, this is exciting.
Yeah.
Think,
and,
Last question. Because as we know, it all, Jack, it all only matters now relates to the Phillies.
Yeah.
LeBron lure other athletes in other sports here? Could people be like, oh, look at Philly. What's popping off there? I want to go play in Philly in all the sports. Yeah.
Well, I don't know how that would work with the baseball team. They're pretty up against it, you know, money wise.
Oh, so it doesn't just work. People don't just come for free and just I'll take a dollar to play for you. No.
Yeah. So, well, at least we said we weren't going to do a long one today.
I know that was my fault. Every time I say it. All right, this is fun. Thank you to everyone. We love all of you so much. Have a wonderful 4th. It's a cool one. Stay warm. I mean, stay cool with warm. All the heat out. So I meant to say cool. Stay inside with the heat out there. But you know what?
You're gonna water. Anyway, so. No water. No.
Don't
nothing.
Drink water. Go outside and sit there and just deal with it.
It's a good time for some Miller Lights.
Yeah, tell me about it. I am ready to rock right now. All right, we'll be back Tuesday. Until then.
Millions of Americans are looking for effective ways to manage their weight, but finding the right support can feel confusing and time-consuming. Orderly Meds offers a convenient online experience that connects you with licensed medical providers to explore GLP-1 treatment options from home. The process is simple. Complete your information online, connect with a provider, and learn what options may be right for you. No waiting rooms, no complicated scheduling, just a modern, streamlined experience designed around convenience. Visit orderlymeds.com/podcasts to learn more today. That's orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Again, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. One more time, orderlymeds.com/podcasts. Compounded medications are not FDA approved. Results may vary. Consult a licensed healthcare provider to determine if treatment is appropriate for you. Restrictions apply.